South Africans doing great things.
17 minutes after 10 o'clock on a Friday evening, we celebrate South Africans doing great things. Thabang Paleng and Potego Mompai, founders and I suppose directors of this business. We're going to hear a little bit more about it. And as I said, the lines are always open. Always open. Hey, Chris, I mean, I think we say that every time, right? Why is it that people think that some conversations, they're not allowed to call in or have a conversation? Why? Did we communicate that somehow?
No.
The lines are always open. Always open. The lines are always open. Please, so please give us a call. Be part of the conversation. I'm getting a lot of messages on the various social media platforms saying, yeah, but you didn't ask this question. But that's why you need to call in and ask the question. It's an interactive space. You are part of the conversation and we want you to be part of it. Please give us a call if you are that way inclined. But South Africans doing great things. Sitting in front of me, Director of Wash Me, Thabang Paleng, and Potego Mopai, Business Development Manager there at Wash Me. Thabang, thank you for joining us. I really appreciate you coming through. I really, really appreciate you coming through to the studio at this time of the night. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, sure. Thank you very much for the invite, man.
And then, of course, Potego Mopai, Business Development Manager at Wash Me. Good evening to you, Potego.
Good evening, Aubrey.
Thank you so much for joining us, my brother. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Wash Me, what is that, Thabang?
It's basically a combination of tech and manual labor combined. So what we figured is that we have a lot of professionals, especially young professionals. They tend to be more busy than they actually anticipate in their daily lives, right? You find that you have gym, you still have to cook, you have your 9-to-5. You might have a child or two. Therefore, you need school runs in the middle of all that chaos. You don't have your actual time to yourself, let alone your kids or anything else. You don't have time for reading because when you get back from gym, sometimes you're tired.
Yeah.
You don't even get to cook. You buy takeout, right? So we figured that we have a big issue here in our country whereby we don't have a lot of convenience, but we do have the technology to fix most of it. And one of the ways we are doing it now is through the mobile car wash, specifically targeting, no offense to people that are not our target market, but initially it was to target working professionals because they lack the time to do other things when they're done with their 9-to-5s. So the drive behind it is that, you know, you get to come to work, not worry about your car being dirty because you can easily go on our web app, book your car for a wash, and then you get notifications when our guys are outside. It doesn't really matter at the moment where you are, as long as you are within 50 kilometers of the Hyde Park area, because that's where our offices are. Our guys will come to you, they'll wash your car, and then when they're done, they'll give you your key. You give them feedback. If you're not happy, they'll continue washing it until you are happy. And you don't waste the time, not a moment of your life, you know. You can use that extra hour that you were supposed to take your car to an actual local car wash to maybe, say, buy groceries and eat healthy.
I'm interested as to where the idea came from. What was the inspiration behind the idea? Where did Wash Me as an idea start?
So our older brother used to.
Are you guys brothers?
Are we cousins?
Okay,
but we grew up as brothers.
Sure.
So his older brother is my brother.
You're right.
So our older brother used to work at Ford.
Yeah.
So he used to operate in the car wash section.
Yeah.
So he was not necessarily happy where he was. So he came up with the idea that how else are we gonna help him get to where he's gonna go with the experience he has. And then that's where the idea of Wash Me came about, because professionally he came along with a software development background. So he was like, how about I build a web app and then we start a mobile car wash? That way, we can have busy professionals to book through the mobile car wash, and then he can run the day to day doing what he loves as well. And then, you know, we can keep the ball rolling. So, like he said, it's a mixture of tech and manual labor.
It's amazing for me to hear that opportunities for business are living in that sweet spot of tech and whatever it is that you do as the vocation, as the work that you do, whether it's labor, whether it is events management, whatever the case may be, but this interesting marriage of tech and the other thing, I don't know, I still don't have a proper term,
but I think vocation is
the
fine.
Vocation, yeah. is probably the right word, yeah? And how business opportunities are beginning to arise out of that. Again, I'm seeing that every time you look at a business and the vocation is washing cars, but there's always an underlying other benefit and convenience that the client gets. You were talking, Thabang, now about the quality of life that you afford your clients in terms of not having to worry at least about one aspect of their life, and that's washing their car and maintaining their car. And by the way, I want us to talk about the maintenance side of things that your business is already proposing to the market. Yeah. But that you guys are not just washing cars, you're providing a convenience. Was that the thinking behind the creation of WashMe, that we're going to provide the convenience that enhances quality of life?
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, it all stems from obviously trying to create a better opportunity for our sibling, right? And it was a combination of that and what we experienced as people. I remember we one day wanted to go eat, but one of my friend's car was dirty. So they suggested we go to a car wash that also has a place where we can drive.
Chisanyama,
you know? Yeah, yeah. And in this area, they're not there.
No, not here.
Not
Hyde
here.
Park,
yeah.
This is Hyde Park.
Exactly.
Excuse me. This is Hyde Park.
Now our schedule included two activities that we needed to do, but we did not have the time for both. So we had to choose one. And obviously it was, you know, chow. We went to eat. And while we're doing that, there was a little bit of brainstorming about how we can, you know, resolve this problem, because we're probably not the only people having this kind of an issue. I mean, that 1 hour that you take waiting for your car, particularly when the car wash is full, right, is quite a lot for someone. And we're not even including the time that you take to drive there yourself, right, and drive back.
Right.
Right. And it doesn't even end there. When it comes to cost management as well, you know, and we all know how expensive fuel is right now. People initially started complaining about our pricing. And the only way we can actually explain it to them was that, you know what, this is how we formulated the pricing. You do your own calculations and then come back to us.
Right.
And it proves that it works, because we retain a lot of clients. Like the guys that have come, over 90% of them have returned to wash their cars with us again, because they have seen the benefit of it.
Right.
You know, so yeah, to answer your question in layman's terms, it was to solve that issue, to offer convenience to the guys that are always busy.
I find that the conversation around entrepreneurship is forcing us to look at life through a problem solving lens, not through a profit making lens.
Yeah.
I know, especially from the communities we come from, we want to make money because there's no money in. And our experience and relationship with money is that it's a solver of problems. But I'm beginning to see emerge a mindset, particularly amongst young entrepreneurs like yourself, that says we need to look for a problem that we can solve. Is that the kind of thinking, Budeho, that inspired your business?
I can say it is, because I mean, I always say time is like a currency. I mean, once you lose it, you don't get it back. Like, you know,
sure, yeah.
So, in order for us to, you know, kind of resolve this issue alone is to show our customers that we are going to save you time, and at the same time, we're going to save you money.
Right.
And if you get
putting
that,
you first.
Yeah, we're putting you first because, you know, we are here for you.
Yeah.
The whole idea was to solve an issue that we have, and we believe that we are not the only people that are experiencing this issue. So, yeah, I do believe that that's the inspiration behind it.
I think, and I'm interested to find out where you guys come from. I want to go a little bit deeper with the conversation about looking for money. Because, you know, that's how I pay my bills, right? That's why we want jobs, because we're looking for money so that we can pay our bills and we can look after our needs and all of those are legitimate things, right? But I get a feeling sometimes, Thabang, that kind of thinking of I'm looking for money. And I don't want to belittle it. I don't want to trivialize it. Because it's real. It's real. We need money, right? But I'm suggesting that there is something going on at the moment in this country, particularly amongst young entrepreneurs, young guys like yourself, that while there is an appreciation for the need for money, it is becoming more and more apparent to me that guys and girls are beginning to understand, say girls because I've just had a conversation with a powerful girl, right? That there is a growing appreciation of the fact that the money won't come unless you are adding value.
True.
I'm beginning, and in different degrees of sophistication, I'm beginning to see how guys are beginning to understand that Ixe, we've got to do something that is going to solve a problem for somebody in order for us to be able to say, here is the problem-solving proposition, then I am worthy of the money that you're giving me. Is that the thinking in your business? And are you seeing that happen perhaps in your area of influence and where you find yourself?
I mean, it's a bit strange. In my circle, I only have one other guy that runs a company, or two companies, and we do have the same framework.
Bruh, I'm loving what you just said. There's a guy who's running two companies, yeah?
Same here.
Bra of yours. Yeah. You're running two companies too?
Yeah.
You don't know what that makes me feel like, bro. I want to jump up and down. Anyway, so yeah?
Yeah, so the mentality is around that. So a lot of the guys that we tend to hang around with don't necessarily learn around the businesses around them, especially the successful ones. I'll give an example with what Uber did, right? When Uber came along, they found a loophole.
Yeah.
They don't own any of the things that we use.
Yeah.
But they leverage technology to make sure that we get that convenience. And they were very cheap, right? To a point where Mexi taxis were fighting with them.
Yeah.
And we started onboarding on their platforms. And once they had that nice little churn of theirs when it comes to users, they now switched it up. Uber is it's expensive right now compared to the rates that were back then, even when you include inflation, right?
I don't use Uber much, so I don't know how.
Oh, yeah. It's prices are crazy right now. Yeah. So what we did is that we look at successful businesses like that. Yeah. And try to see how they became successful, you know. Yeah. And a lot of people miss the fact that the point that you mentioned, money is important. We all need it.
Yeah.
A lot of people miss the fact that Uber didn't make money for at least 3 years.
Yeah.
It was always running in the red.
Yeah.
But because they are adding value, they're solving that issue that people have, they supply convenience, they know that they will eventually make that money back.
Yeah.
So we don't have the patience, a lot of us, to say, you know what,
I'm currently... And sometimes circumstances are such that they are very pressing. Yeah, I get that.
Definitely.
Yeah.
But I mean, if you start something, it is like having a baby. Yeah. You don't give up on it no matter what.
Right.
Right? So even if it's circumstantial, you see that I'm drowning, I don't have money to push it, try to push it without the money element in it. It's your baby. You believe that it's pushing something that is that is adding value to people, right? It will get there, because how a lot of businesses end up making profit is just accumulation of more customers. Yours won't come overnight.
And how do you guys accumulate more customers?
So basically, I have to sit down with the team and then kind of pinpoint geographically areas where we can find more customers. So because now we are only focusing on Johannesburg, because our offices are based in Hyde Park. So we need to check out, okay, cool. Initially, yes, we were focused on busy professionals. So our main target is
corporates in a particular area,
Yeah. So and then at the same time, you're looking at office parks, but not all office parks, you know, would allow you to come there and, you know, wash a car, because sometimes the security guard is the one that, you know, as a side hustle is washing the car. Even though we come with everything, we don't have to use anything in that particular
So that's your max
property.
Yeah, and it happens. We don't want to take that guy's hustle, right? We have someone, I'm not going to name them, in our complex. He's busy washing cars there. And we said, you know what? Here's employment. You can do it through us. You know, and we are not necessarily gaining anything from there, but a customer. And what the actual gain from that is going to be eventually is word of mouth, when that customer eventually says, hey, I know these guys where you can just book and they come to you. And in that sense, we get to get more customers, you know. But initially, we were not gaining anything. We just gave someone employment, something they were already doing. But now they have the surety that, you know what? I'm going to work and I'm going to do this.
Well, you were gaining something. I mean, you were gaining credibility in the market. You were you were deepening your roots in the market. Yeah. You were gaining something. Maybe you weren't gaining immediately revenue.
Yeah, I just meant in a monetary sense.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you were definitely gaining something. And I want to argue that what you were gaining maybe was even worth more.
It is.
Than the revenue. At a later stage, it becomes more. But what I'm fascinated by, is that the process of gaining your clients, your customers, isn't only dependent on the fact that you guys can wash a car.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
You guys are deliberately finding ways of speaking to your market that talks about the convenience of being able to wash, to get a car washed by Wash Me.
Yeah.
Because I'm abroad, man. I'm excited by this kind of stuff. I watch, especially from Gogasi, right?
Yeah.
How sister that is able to bake nice scones, or a guy who's really brilliant at panel beating a car, or a guy that is a good mechanic, how we sometimes think that that and that alone is what's going to get you your customers. Your customers aren't going to just be coming to you just because you can give us nice scones. We love the scones, yes we do, but what other value is there other than the scones, right? Because I can get scones, man. You know, I can make scones, right? It's not the scones per se that I'm loving. It's the convenience of having them dropped at my house before my kids go to school, before the school run. That's the convenience. Because the scones are great. I love them. But I'm not gonna sell my teeth for your scones, right? But if you're starting to solve other problems for me, other than the wonderful luxury of having to have wonderful warm scones, then I start to look at you. And I'm loving the fact that you guys understand that that is a very critical part of whether or not you guys succeed as a business. That there's real thinking about the customer attainment and retention process. That you actually think about it. That the business has got a particular portfolio that thinks about that specific thing. Is that something that you guys conceived of before the business?
Yeah. And actually, he after we came up with a plan, because we built this business in different phases, and after phase one, we needed a way we can attract our market, right? And we figured that
marketing.
Yeah. There is a different way to go about it, and actually our target market was not the only target market that we can, you know, go after. And the first client of that type was Howler.
Yeah.
When he managed to secure Howler as our client.
Is Howler?
So Howler is a company that deals with ticket booking for concerts.
Okay.
Very big.
Like compu ticket kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Direct competitor.
Does compu ticket still exist?
I'm not sure. Hey. If it does, the more companies are destroying it. Yeah. But yeah. Now we watch Howler's fleet, you know. And ever since we got Howler, we figured, hey, how about we go for companies that also have fleet? You know, if they have a fleet, then we can definitely do that for them.
There's lots of those, yeah?
A lot. So our business model was kind of morphed into that as well. You know, we're like, okay, you are going to target the companies that own a fleet or two. And we are going to go for, you know, our initial target market, because that still worked magic. I mean, in the complex that we are in, Hyde Park Corner, Hyde Park Lane, Office Park. So we are currently dominating. We get washes almost every day.
Yeah.
To a point where we have matrix where we know when it's going to be busy and when it's going to be quiet, you know, and then we plan around that for potential calls that are outside. Like, when was the other one? Yesterday?
Yesterday.
Yeah, we had to go to Bryanston. So we had to cater for the calls this side before the guys went to Bryanston to watch that side.
I'll tell you what excites me. It's the fact that you guys are professionalizing your hustle. You know what I mean? There's lots of guys out there that wash cars, bruh. Lots of guys, man. I can wash a car even. But what I'm loving is the fact that you guys are formalizing, professionalizing, and therefore you are actually creating a business that is probably scalable. I talk to a lot of business guys and they talk about such concepts as scalability and so forth.
Yeah.
But what I'm seeing here is that it's not just a vocation that you're putting in front of a market, the washing of a car, but it is the professionalization of an idea, the formalization of the idea that makes it a business. Yeah, is that part of what you guys conceptualize, think about as you think about your business, Tabang?
Yeah, definitely.
And where does that come from?
We have what we call sprint reviews every 2 weeks. So we come together and we look at the past 2 weeks and how it went and what new things we've learned and what failed, what worked.
So you guys have those kinds of meetings?
Yes.
Is that what we would call board meetings?
No, not quite. They're not that formal.
Okay.
Yeah, we just outline our failures, our successes, and what we can do better, what we can improve on. And obviously, we not every second week is going to be the same. Some will be fully successful. Some will fail. Like, we'll have 2 weeks where we only have five washes,
yeah,
you know, but we come back and we talk about it. We see what we can improve to get more washes, because you can only wash your car as many.
Yeah. Once or twice.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know.
And, within those chats, we need to come up with a plan on a way forward. And that's how everything keeps improving. So we're not stagnant. We're not saying this is working and we just relax about it. We want to improve everything, including the process, you know, because right now, most of the time, the reason the guys are returning back to wash their cars is because the guys that are actually washing their cars are doing a very exceptional job.
Yeah.
To a point where when we get feedback, we're like, oh, wow, yes, you know, because they don't always capture the pictures for us to see.
Do you go to people's homes?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if I say, guys, come to my place, come wash my car?
Yeah,
you'll come. You'll come.
Mm-hmm.
How does that actually happen? Do you bring somebody there? Does the person Uber there? How does it work?
No, so you basically just book from the web app.
Yeah.
And then instead of punching in your company name, you put in maybe your complex name.
Yeah.
And then once you're done with the booking, you're going to receive a notification that confirms your booking. And then the admin side also receives an SMS as well and an email in case they missed the SMS. And then they want to call you just to confirm your location and whether you are available at that time. And then we check with the guys in terms of the capacity because they can book. So our slots are basically an hour long. So, but sometimes some cars are really, really dirty.
Yeah.
And it takes, so it takes them longer to wash.
Yeah,
so
you just come and wash my back, man.
Yeah.
I'll put you out of business.
So you find those cars where you spend more than an hour on.
Yeah.
So we first need to check with the guys before we can, you know, tell you that, oh, we'll be there at X amount.
I'm seeing a trend. You know, my wife and my daughter braid. They braid their hair. And we always used to go to Tembisa where they braid their hair. Especially just before the holidays end, it's a big braid time in my family because folks have got to get their hair done. The boys need to get proper haircuts because, you know, school's about to start. And the girls need to go and get their hair braided, but functionally braided because they, you know, playing netball, they're doing sports. So the braids have got to be resilient.
Yeah.
And for the longest time, we didn't find the right people to do their hair. So we always used to travel to Tembisa to go and get it done there because there's a guy there who does it the way that they do it right. And I'm seeing that those very guys from Tembisa have woken up to the idea that they've got to become mobile. Yeah, okay. Because the idea of the traditional hair salon, coming to the hair salon is becoming a little bit old now. These guys have now come together and there is a group of hair people. Hair stylists.
Yeah.
That are now mobile. They go everywhere. And today, my wife had her hair done by a guy who came to the house. And so I'm beginning to see that services are becoming more mobile. People are beginning to understand that convenience is what we buy rather than just the vocation, you know. Is that something that you guys how did you come up with
it? Yeah, it is, because that is the big gap, right? That is the, do I go and wash my car? Nah, I don't have that time. I won't make it in time for gym, you know.
Yeah.
That's the difference between a car wash owner who's sitting there and us, who's just almost everywhere, right? Because
so
with
you don't,
us...
You don't even have to worry about the big turnover, I mean, the outlay for premises.
Yeah.
You don't have to be worrying about that.
No. I mean, you can even go to gym and book your car there.
Yeah.
When you receive a call, you're like, you know what? I'm not at home, but I'm at the gym and this is the address. We go there. We wash your car while you are busy at the gym.
Yeah,
when you're done, your car is done. You go back home. You didn't lose any time in between that. That's the whole concept, you know.
Are your customers happy paying?
Yeah, I mean, so far it's been good feedback.
Yeah, I mean, I received one comment this week from this other lady. So a colleague of hers was booking for her bikie, and then she's like, "No, you should charge her more because she has dogs."
Yeah.
Because they feel like we're not charging enough sometimes.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, we have, you know, our own price ranges that we have already, you know, came up with, and they stand like that. But when you find people that come with a really dirty car and you find someone with a car that is not really dirty, but they booked the same package or the same type of wash,
yeah.
You spend less time working on that one and more time working on that one.
Yeah.
And you, those two people kind of pay the same price. So I'd say everyone is happy with the prices, but some feel like, you know, we just charge, we're not charging enough.
Enough, yeah.
Benfant Bula SSM, I don't know how if I'm pronouncing that properly. Says, hi, Aubrey. Great conversation. I'm enjoying these business conversations these last few days. Very informative and empowering to us. Your businessmen and entrepreneurs. It helps to know that you are the only outlier and it's always worth hunting your dreams. A movie in time shows a truth that time is actually the currency that we are buying and selling or trading. Keep inspiring people, says Bienfant Bula SSM. Yeah? I'm on a bit of a thing at the moment. I'm on a bit of a trip where I've suddenly woken up to the fact that, it's maybe not sudden, it's been gradual. I've woken up to the fact that, hey, we don't have to stay poor. Boom. Huh? I've woken up to the fact that, hey, it's not such a big mystery. If we start to talk to each other about what it is that we can do, not spend time talking about what it is that we can't do, then maybe what we can do becomes the norm. If we can start talking about the idea that we can have more businesses like you guys and more ideas that can come out of different things, we might be in a place where we can tip the scales and change the conversation to what we can do rather than what we can't do. Now, I'm in the business of talking. 4 hours every day I'm talking to people about stuff. And one of the things that has bothered me deeply, that makes me get sick sometimes, is how we get so preoccupied with how we can't. And the reasons for why we can't are valid, right?
Yeah.
They're valid. But when I look at the reasons for why we can, they are also valid and maybe more if we actually start to think about it. And I'm convinced that when we start to have conversations that are about why we can create businesses that are mobile, that are about washing cars. But they're actually not about washing cars. They're about providing a convenience. They're actually not about providing a convenience. They're about increasing the quality of life of people.
Yeah.
I'm convinced more than ever before that we can change the way that South Africa is. We've got lots of challenges. I mean, you guys know that.
Yeah.
But I think if we've got more and more guys like you that are thinking about how do I create more customers? How do I make my offering better for people to choose me rather than the other guy? You're less inclined to be thinking about how do I rob that guy? You know what I mean?
Yeah. True.
Does it make sense? You're less inclined to be spending more time about how do I make that guy's life less comfortable in order to make mine more comfortable.
Yeah.
And I'm suggesting that people like me who have a bit of a platform, people like yourselves who are already in business, need to tell that story. Because the more of us that are doing productive things and our minds are committed, but the time of our mind is taken up more by how do we solve a problem rather than how do we create a problem. Things have got to change. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How has your lives changed as a result of the existence of this business? What was it like before? What is it now like now that you can point to and say, yeah, it's because of this business that we've started that our lives have changed for the better.
I stress more. But if there's one thing I'm grateful for is that I'm always thinking of new ways to improve the business.
Yeah.
How else are we going to take it further? And, you know, I'm happy that we are at a point where we've reached a stage where we can grow now. because we tapped into a market that, you know, was not really popular like that. And then you had your traditional car washes. So how do you play against, you know, something that has become the norm to everyone? How do you convince people that, no, you can choose us, you know, in a country where people, you know, mostly, you know, are more traditional? When I like something, I like it and I stick to it.
Yeah.
So, you know, just pushing the boundary for me personally, having to sit down on a daily basis and think of new ways to conquer the market and change people's lives. I just feel like it improves me as a person personally, and it helps me grow because I constantly take on short courses because I want to improve my marketing skills. I want to improve my business skills. Sheesh. You see, so, and also, you know, this business was established when, you know, load shedding was going crazy in the country.
Yeah.
And then us coming with a solution like this, we have a water problem.
Yeah.
We have an electricity problem.
Yeah.
But when we come to you, we don't even use your electricity. We don't expect you to think that we're also going to use your water.
Yeah.
Yes, you can give us access to your water pump,
yeah,
but we bring our own water.
Wow.
Our equipments are battery, you know, battery
driven, yeah.
Battery powered.
Yeah.
So, and at the same time, we're using eco-friendly products. So even if we are washing your car next to your garden, you don't have to worry about the chemicals. We don't use, because some people don't like different scents in the car. We don't use products that are gonna, you know, bring a new smell into the car that you're not familiar with.
You know, one of the things that I have conversations with young guys, such as both of you guys are, look like you're in your 30s, maybe even younger.
No.
How old are you?
I'm turning 26.
And you?
32.
Okay. Yeah. So we're celebrating or commemorating 30 years of democracy tomorrow. You guys were little itches at the time. You guys were, you weren't even born.
Yeah. I don't even know anything about that.
One of the things that happened was that many young black guys felt like they had no stake in the economy of this country. Because the traditional places for finding employment and gainful employment were dwindling. And what that created was anger. Because many people were told, go to school, get a matric, go to university, get a degree, and things are going to be okay. And things turned out not to be okay.
Unfortunately.
And guys, rightfully so, and guys and girls, rightfully were getting angry because of the lie that they had been told. That go and get this education, it was a lie. It's not a lie that you must get an education. But the lie was that you are guaranteed an education if you do this, and this. And it's not happening. And guys and girls are getting angrier and angrier and angrier. We told them other lies. Oh, you need to get more land, or you need to get more this. You need to get the means of production, we told them. I remember myself, I was part of that story. Until I started to come across guys like you that made me realize that the land is between your ears. The land that we seek is between your ears. The means of production are between your ears. We didn't tell young guys like you that. We didn't inform you. We didn't tell you, Arale Khabudisa, to say that the land is between your ears. The means of production are between your ears. And if you guys don't ignite that, wake it up, we're going to keep fighting. And 2,000 years from now, we're going to be talking about how oppressed we are. And your story says to me that you found the land. Maybe car washed for now. But I'm hearing that there are innovations in that very same idea about car maintenance. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I'm the wrong guy to talk about maintenance.
I'm hearing that is the next phase.
That stage where we parked it for now because there are other things that took priority in terms of phases.
Right.
Right now we're working on what we call a partner program.
Right.
I've been washing my car around Ferndale.
Yeah.
So I built a relationship with the guy that manages the car wash there. Spoken to them, told them about Wash Me. You know, they have two lanes and it's always packed there. And I gave an example regarding Uber Eats. How when the guys just, when they come to collect the food, they don't actually stand in queue because the food has been bought prior, right? So how about we do the same with your car wash? You have what we call a fast lane. If they book through us for a certain slot, say 10 to 11, during that time, you know that this car is supposed to go in and they don't have to wake up. You get your share, we get our share. They get that convenience of
come
not waiting.
Come on.
You know? So because of that agreement, we had to push up one phase and, you know, push out the maintenance phase.
And at the right time, you guys will know when, what needs to... Are you guys making money? Yeah, he nods. I'm glad that you guys are making money. How do people find you guys?
So you just punch in Wash Me on your Google Chrome or your browser.
Yeah.
And then our website is going to pop up. And then you click the link and then you book from there.
Excellent. I'm going to book you guys. I'm going to try you guys out. I really am. Well, my bike is old, bro, and it's dirty.
It's dirty.
I hope they're listening.
Yeah.
suppose that's going to prove. Listen, guys, I'm supremely proud of you guys. I want to tell you that you guys are showing us where the land is. And we're going to get the land because you guys are showing us that it's possible. I'm understanding that the land is between our ears. And we will have economic emancipation in our lifetime if we go and take that land. I really appreciate it. Wash Me is the company. And I really want to say to you guys that I know that you guys are going to go to bigger and better places. And thank you very much for just staying the course. I really appreciate it.